Blog Talk Radio.
Politics on the Navajo Nation. The voice of Navajo politics. Navajo politics. Navajo politics.
Hello, everybody. I hope everybody's doing well out there. You're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation. And it is 9 o'clock right now, and you're welcome to call in. And the telephone number here is 989-347-0048. And tonight, we have several things that I sure like to talk about. And please call, because I'd like to hear from everybody. And I'm looking forward to hearing from you and hearing from people out there. We hope that we have some politicians that are listening that can give us some better insight on the on these issues. One of the things that I wanted to talk about this evening was the BHP Navajo Nation or Navajo Mine that was purchased by the Navajo Nation. And there's still information out there that we're still somewhat unclear with, and if there's anything that Navajo Nation and Navajo people wants to do. And so there's a lot of issues that are still kind of hanging around with that. And, of course, we've had a lot of discussion on the Internet. And the other topic that we're going to talk about is the Navajo Land Summit that happened about maybe 3 weeks ago. We've had people blogging or posting that information on Facebook, and we've somewhat heard a little bit of information from the land summit that took place. And at the central of this information or of this issue is the grazing permit and what the Navajo Nation and the Navajo people, where they're going to go with it, what they're going to do with it, and you know, I'm very curious if this is going to be a replacement to the land as the way it's set up on the Navajo Nation. And if anybody's out there who attended that summit in Twin Arrows Casino. And also, again, the Nemesine question and the Nemesine issue that's been out there, which is the Washington Redskins. I've heard some information about that, and I tried to follow up on it, and didn't hear very much from a lot of people. And but I'm still going to get to the bottom of this. There's some recent developments in reference to Mr. Dan Schneider, the owner of the Washington Redskins. So if there's any information about any of these three topics, you're welcome to call in. And not only that, it's just to call in and say, hey, Yate, last night we had a wonderful time down at the Salt Palace in Salt Lake City, Utah. We had the Native American Celebration Winter Eve powwow. And all those people who attended, thank you very, very much. It absolutely was a blast. And we rang to everyone in the 2014. So happy new year to everybody out there. Jono Bushin Hintahe Aro Kare 2014 Banaho Jeez. So this is the first day, and see how we're gonna do. I hope you made some resolutions. So tonight's show is about the New Year's resolution for the Navajo Nation, and these are the three topics that we're going to cover. So I'm looking forward to hearing from you, and even just to say hello and wish everybody on the Navajo Nation and all over the Internet world that, you know, just wish your have your input. Say, you know, where you're calling from, even just say hi. So, again, you're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation. And you can call in at 347-989-0048. 1-800-273-0048. And also, when you guys are wanting to call in and listen to the show, you can listen to the show. I actually linked up several links or posts that I did on Facebook, and all you need to do is just click on it, and you can listen to the show. And if you want to call in, please turn off your computer. That way we don't have feedback. There's a little bit of delay on here. And we have our first caller. Hello, and who is calling in? Hello, I can hear you. Are you online?
Cal?
Yeah.
Yeah, good evening. Deswood Tom here.
Oh, yeah, Deswood Tom. How are you? Boy, I tell you, this is a pleasure to hear from you. You are live on the radio right now. Deswood, how was your New Year?
New Year was great. We're excited to get a New Year kicked off. We're going to be heading into 2014, into an election year, and we're very excited, Cal.
Oh, is that right? Wow. So what's having you call my brother, Deswood Tome?
Well, I'm thinking about what you're talking about, and one of the things that I think is on your list tonight is the BHP Billington Navajo Mine purchase, and I'd love to talk on that subject.
Okay, well, that's awesome. Let me give you some background information about what we know and what we've seen. Of course, this is fall session. It started out, and there was an unveiling of the energy policy, which was kind of tagged in with the BHP Navajo Nation mine. We've heard somewhat from the council delegates. We read through the media of various different places. Got some information, and then, of course, you know, this is great. And you, just to kind of, you know, give us, for the listeners who don't know, you know, what your role is over at the office of the president, would you share that with us?
Certainly, Cal. The BHP Billington mine purchase is a very necessary step for the Navajo Nation to get involved in to save a host of jobs, anywhere from 600 to 700 jobs in the Four Corners area, and to also stave off the loss of more than $70 million in revenue per year. And the Navajo Nation is acquiring BHP Billington Mines lease agreement, of course, which is coming up on 2016. It is due to expire. And the coal sale agreement is to supply coal to the Four Corners area. The Navajo Nation is stepping in to purchase that and to ensure the continuity of the Four Corners generating plant all the way until 2045.
Wow, that's a long time.
So the coal sale agreement is to make sure that clean coal technology, through the use of catalytic reduction converters, will be used, and that there will be reduced emissions of pollutants and carbon dioxides in the area.
Okay. Now, in reference that information that you shared with us is very important, of course, to the listeners out there, and we've got listeners from all over the place that called in and addressed this issue. And I'm just going to play a little bit of the devil's advocate here,
Devil,
if I could just kind of share some of the information, if you wouldn't mind. You know, this whole deal from the very onset, it involved the, of course, the legislative branch and also the executive. How did this whole thing evolve, and at what point did BHP decide to put this, you know, who actually, from what I understand, that the timeline, the streamline of this whole purchase had to fit into a certain amount of window. I mean, where did this whole deal come from?
I'm sorry, Cal, can you repeat that last part of your question?
Yeah. While we were, you know, like I said, this whole information got, or I mean, this whole BHP Navajo mine purchase was, you know, obviously the Navajo Nation, you're explaining what the Navajo Nation's position is in terms of preserving jobs, okay? And so now, what beyond the job and looking forward into the future, what brought this deal into what it is now?
Well, Cal, the fact remains that the Navajo Nation is going to be able to pay back the purchase of this mine from the acquisition, from the tax revenue offset that will go into this for the next few years, and be able to pay it back. In addition to that, you're looking at a coal sale agreement which will go from 2016 to 2045, and you'll get to restructure the agreement to make it more advantageous for the Navajo Nation, which includes increased royalty to the Navajo Nation coffers. So that, in addition to saving jobs, in addition to saving revenue, the Navajo Nation is making a stark decision here into getting into a coal sale agreement, which is going to be very advantageous for the Navajo government.
And in terms of the, while we're starting to understand the, you know, the benefits of what the Navajo Nation is going to receive, now if we can just kind of step back for those listeners out there who are not certainly, fully understanding the dynamics of this entire business purchase or the mine purchase. Now, what was the main reason why that BHP was selling this mine?
Well, Cal, they're stepping out of the, they're reducing. You know that BHP is a worldwide company with their headquarters, I believe, in Australia. And they are reshaping their company. They're looking at the fact that they're not just closing down the Navajo mine, but they're closing down several other operations at this time. This is a prime opportunity for the nation to get involved into energy. You look at where we are in energy with the Navajo Nation's supply of coal lasting more than 200 years, and the fact that we have more than 400 coal-fired generating plants in the nation, this is a smart move on the Navajo Nation's part to get into the energy platform to increase the nation's stakes, as it's never done before. I mean, before you've had back in the mid-60s, you've had coal agreements signed, which left the Navajo Nation with 15 cents per ton of 1 ton of coal for Navajo coal. This is a remarkable breakthrough because it's going to ensure Navajo's longevity all the way into the next 20 to 30 years.
Okay. Now, so what you're saying is that, and again, I'm going to just, you know, kind of hear, I'm going to ask some of the questions that are coming from the general public. Well, I've had, I mean, this is my third time that I've actually am talking about this. So what is exactly, what's all this upheaval about? We've got grassroots people who are down there in Window Rock who are opposing this, and of course the in last week's Navajo Nation Council session, there was a waiver of sovereign immunity. Can you share what is going on that situation?
Well, the waiver is for the insurance company in order to ensure the sale of the coal in order to make this operational. You know, I remember that in discussions, what you're doing is when you sign a waiver of sovereignty, when the council enacts on that, it's the same as taking and the sovereignty being the rainbow, that you're lowering the rainbow some so that you can allow progress and development to occur. That's what this is all about, Cal. This is about progress. This is about development. This is about the Navajo Nation's energy portfolio and stepping into the big game, if you will. This is about the Navajo Nation taking and becoming a major player in U.S. energy. That is exactly where we are going.
Okay, so from the business, so strictly business, speaking from the business perspective, so what you're saying is that we have the Navajo Nation, and then we have a business out there in this particular case. It just happens to be the BHP. It could be any other business. And so the dynamics of actually assembling this deal would involve in, several other players that are going to come to the table, like, for instance, like the bonding company, the insurance company, the other investors that are out there. So therefore, so from what you're telling me is that the waiver of sovereign immunity is just to accommodate to make sure that this particular business deal does happen.
Exactly, right? Exactly. That we're going through, that we're just doing it for this insurance purpose only. We're not doing it across the board.
Okay, yeah, because, you know, I think that might be some of the misunderstanding. And, of course, you know, there are sentiments out there. If the Navajo Nation waives this sovereign status, now, what does, is there a possibility that we might be setting a precedent for the future that somebody is going to pierce our Navajo Nation sovereignty?
Kel, we've got to make hard decisions at this time. When we have an opportunity in front of us and we need to talk about our sovereignty and talk about waivers of sovereignty, we've got to be able to say, do we want progress and development and opportunity and business and jobs, or do we want to continue protecting our sovereignty at the cost of loss of opportunity? You know, you look at other tribes, especially down in the Scottsdale, Phoenix area, like Gila River. They've had
right.
to face some of the very same situations there, but they are around a metropolitan area where they can benefit. They're prospering today because of some sacrifices that they've had to make. Cal, we're talking about making a sacrifice here in order to ensure the longevity and the livelihood of the Navajo Nation for generations to come. And you know, as well as I know, Navajo Nation sits on an energy platform that involves coal, natural gas, oil, renewable energy, biomass, and some people are even afraid to talk about uranium. Even that, even though the tribe at this time is choosing not to get involved in uranium, that still stands to this day. We're talking in the future opportunity, maybe that's where that will be.
Okay. Now, so while we're doing this thing, we're looking at the future. Totally understood. You know, the Navajo Nation has the right. The Navajo Nation government should provide and accommodate, see whatever we can to be able to look at the economy of the Navajo Nation. Totally understood, and I think that that's. But I think there are some questions out here in reference to how that this package is coming together. Number one is that we understand that now that you've shared with us how that this deal is going to should happen, so that that we can own a mine. And then there were questions about how much coal is possibly left in this particular mine. And you shared with us that you're saying it's just about 200 years of coal reserve. And so where I've had people say that there's only 50 years, so I'm not sure what this, and so I guess the concern is this, is that now why did I believe that the question that's coming up in reference to how many years of coal there is, one of the questions is that, well, while this deal was going through, there was another waiver that basically had to occur with this deal, and that was the Navajo Nation's signing away the right to sue or waiver of liability in reference to the purchase of the mine. Can you address that?
Cal, I'm not prepared at this time to address that question. I would have to get the legal experts involved here and to be on your show in order for me to adequately address that question.
Okay.
But we've done due diligence on this, and the Navajo Nation has hired one of the best law firms available to do this deal. And the Navajo Nation is not walking into this blindly. I think last week's action by the council, in which the president signed off on, if you look at it, it is the Navajo Nation Council agreeing, the president agreeing. You have the crux of the Navajo Nation's leadership agreeing to making this happen because they see that it's a smart move, it's a necessary move, it's a move in which we're going into clean coal technology in the future.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that, Deadwood. How much time do you have with us this evening?
You know, I have some time. I think what your show is an hour long.
It's an hour and a half. But
okay.
Yeah. So
well,
again,
I got another 15 minutes or so.
Okay. Well, Deadwood, can you just so that the listeners understand, what is your role at the president's office?
Kel, I am the special advisor to the president. I work directly for President Shelley. My job is to ensure that there's business opportunity, business creation, job development, hand-in-hand with the Division of Economic Development and all other government facets to make sure that the president's agenda is carried out. The president's priorities are health, education, economic prosperity, governance, and infrastructure. My job is specifically economic prosperity, infrastructure, to work on those two facets of the president's priorities.
Wow, well, that sounds very impressive. So you got a big job there.
It may sound impressive, Cal, but it's actually a lot of work.
Yeah, and if I could put you on hold just for a few minutes while
no,
we
that's
just
fine.
Break.
That's fine.
If you wouldn't mind, Deswood, I've got callers who are calling in, and possibly if they have any questions, would you be willing to take some questions?
Certainly.
Okay. Sounds good. And again, you're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation. And the telephone number here is 347-989. And I want to thank Mr. Deswood Tome from the Office of the President to be on the air to be able to kind of enlighten us and clarify some of the dynamics of the BHP mine purchase. And we'll see you in a bit.
My name is Cody, and you are listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation, hosted by Cal Nez.
So you are listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation, and this is internet radio, and it's going all over the United States and all over the world. And I welcome everybody and wish everybody a happy new year. We have with us Mr. Deswood Tome from the Office of the President with us, and we are right now talking about the BHP Navajo mine purchase. So we have a caller who is on the line right now with us, and we appreciate and would you introduce yourself? Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Hello. You're on air.
Can you hear me? Hi,
yes,
Cal, and hi, Deswood. This is Sylvia Laughter.
Well, hello, Sylvia. Welcome.
Thanks
hi, Sylvia.
Very much. Hi. I have a question for you, Deswood. As you know, that I've had some clients that came to the Navajo Nation to do alternative coal development
mm-hmm.
versus coal-fired coal development.
Mm-hmm.
My concern right now is Obama's threat, and he has been quoted a few times indicating that he has plans to bankrupt coal-fired plants. And I'm wondering why, with that thought in mind, why would the Navajo Nation choose to pursue buying a coal-fired plant, knowing that the president has every commitment via his threat to close down or bankrupt these companies? I'm just wondering whether this is really a financial risk for the Navajo Nation, and the only that would be my question. My suggestion, on the other hand, is that has the Navajo Nation considered going on ahead and buying the coal-fired plant and then maybe converting it into an alternative method utilizing the coal?
Thank you, Cal. Sylvia, thank you for your question. It's good to hear from you again. The fact remains here is that the Navajo Nation is not buying a coal-fired generating plant. The Navajo Nation is acquiring a coal mine to supply the coal to the plant. If you're concerned about environment, concerned about what Obama's doing, let me tell you what the U.S. Department of Energy is doing. The U.S. Department of Energy has invested several million dollars in studying what is called carbon capture sequestration. In addition to that, the U.S. Department of Energy has also been studying what is called pre-combustion and post-combustion carbon dioxide zero emission and zero pollutants. In fact, this is going on right now. And as you're aware, there are more than 400 coal-fired generating plants in the United States. You just can't shut them all down at once. You're going to cause havoc to the electrical grid in the country.
Exactly.
So in doing so, the Navajo Nation is making a smart move into getting into clean coal technology.
Good.
And the Navajo Nation is going and is, you've got to remember that the Navajo Nation has already partnered with the U.S. Department of Energy. And we've into an agreement with the Lawrence Livermore Laboratory. We are into an agreement with the Sandia National Laboratory in achieving this. So when they're saying that Obama is going to bankrupt coal-fired generating plants, I can't conceive that President Obama is going to short fuse the United States on electricity supply in the future.
Yeah, I can agree with you on that, and mm-hmm. I can't imagine that somebody would do such a thing that would be cause such great consequences. And mm-hmm. We know he's made some decisions that have been detrimental already to the Navajo Nation. So I'm going to be interested to find out how this affects all the coal fire plants. We know that on YouTube there are a number of companies that have been very adamantly against that, coal company, for instance. And I'm just wondering how he's going to be able to back out on doing such a thing and how that's going to have an impact on this decision. And I know also that would be very ideal to have totally zero pollution, but I don't know whether that's really possible. I know that there is a company out of Tucson that is looking at that very same thing as well. So it'll be interesting to see how things work out with that. I think that if you're able to do that, I can't imagine how Obama would not reconsider his threat.
Mm-hmm. Cal?
Yes, go ahead.
So, let me parlay this, what Sylvia is saying here. And Sylvia, thank you. I appreciate that. The President Shelley took a trip down to Birmingham, Alabama, and also Mobile, Alabama, in September of this year. And I had the opportunity to go with him. Of course, some other folks came with us. And we had an opportunity to see the plant in Birmingham and also one in Mobile, to where there is zero pollutants and zero emissions into the air. And the U.S. Department of Energy is actually funding a portion of this by studying it over the last 5 years. And they're looking into the ways of clean coal technology and how that can be applied nationwide. If this comes out here to Navajo, of course it's going to be expensive, but the U.S. Department of Energy is willing to pour in money into clean coal technology. So if the Navajo decides to get involved in clean coal technology, if you're going to build a power plant from ground up, what they call that is pre-combustion, carbon capture sequestration. If you're doing it in an existing plant, they call that post-combustion. But either way, I've seen the technology. In fact, the president has seen the technology, to where there are zero pollutants and zero emissions of carbon dioxide going into the air. It exists to this day, and it's operating in a few plants in the country, and they're getting ready to roll this out.
In
Navajo
the country, or
player here,
Deswood, in the country, in America, or outside? I know that China.
Right here in the United States. Right here,
okay.
In the United States, right in the state of Alabama.
Well, good. Well, hopefully the Navajo Nation can use this. I personally think that would resolve the concerns of many of the environmental Navajos. You know, I think the biggest concern I believe they have is the environmental issue, the health risk. And if you've got something that has total zero emissions, which I would question, maybe something closer to maybe zero, but I can't imagine that coal would be completely zero emissions. I mean, that would be amazing if you're able to do that. But
well, I've seen it, Sylvia.
I've seen it
myself.
Well, that's good to know. We know that China is totally polluted because they've got a lot of plants like that are emitting a lot of dangerous pollutants in the air, and I can understand a lot of environmentalists on the Navajo Nation that have that concern. But, you know, with that said, I think that's great. I hope this works out to the benefit of the Navajo Nation, but just like everybody else, I think I'm concerned also with the issue regarding the sovereignty, you know, status.
Mm-hmm.
We know also the Navajo Nation has been in has had legal issues because of some similar sovereignty issues when they go into legal matters. And that concerns me as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, thank you very much. And
Sylvia, if you could hold on just for a few minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, listeners out there, you're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation. Right now we're talking about the BHP Navajo mine purchase, and we have the Office of the President Representative, Mr. Deswood Tome, and of course we have another distinguished guest that's called in. So you're welcome to call in to 347-989-0048, and you're welcome to ask questions as well. And Deswood's got just a few more minutes with us, and I appreciate that. So, Deswood, what you're telling me, which is really kind of interesting, and I do appreciate having you call in, where you're saying now there is a difference with this purchase, with this situation. situation that maybe some of the Navajo public out there are not fully understanding. And that situation is, number one, there is a difference between the actual power plant itself, and there is also a mine, and they work with each other. So we're not actually purchasing, or are we not purchasing a power plant, but we're going to buy the mine that provides the coal to the power plant. Is that what I'm understanding?
Cal, that's precisely what you're understanding correctly. The nation is not getting into the purchase of a power plant. In fact, that power plant is owned by 7 different owners. And so we are going to supply the coal from 2016 until 2045 that goes to that plant. That's called a coal sale agreement. And it's going to be a coal sale agreement which will be unlike the current coal sale agreement, in which will be advantageous for the Navajo Nation.
Cal.
Wow. So, yes,
Cal,
go ahead, Sylvia.
I'm going to go. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Sylvia, for calling in. I appreciate that. So, wow, Des, what I am just, I mean, see, this paints a whole new picture for me. Because while most of the discussion has been around, for some reason, people are tying the two together, the power plant itself and the mine. Now, so once we purchase this mine, it possibly has the potential to not only just sell to that power plant, but it also might sell to others once the production gets rolling. Is that right?
That's correct.
So now, for the people who are concerned about the environment, and it's not only just this particular power plant, but just kind of this other areas, like for instance over in Page area, like some of the concerns. Now, I guess the perception out of the general public has been this, and that is that, okay, well, it appears that if we buy this package here, that we're going to just get ourselves involved in operating a business, and not only operating this business, but also that as a Navajo Nation, we are going to continue to contribute to the environment, the air quality. How would you address that, Deadwood? Deadwood, are you still there?
Yes, I am. Yeah. I'm here. You know that coal plants in the United States are coming under scrutiny by the U.S. EPA to ensure that that they're going to reduce pollutants and carbon dioxide. And by the way, I want to interject here that less than 1% of global warming is coming from coal-fired generating plants. A lot of people seem to believe that coal-fired generating plants is contributing an excessive amount to global warming. Global warming is happening, yes. But less than 1% is coming from coal fire generating plants at this time. So you look at what pollutants are. There are pollutants going into the air, and then there's carbon dioxide. And what today's technology is discovering is that we can reduce the pollutants plus carbon dioxide down to zero. And the only thing that's going to be coming out of the stacks at these coal-fired generating plants is vapor. So we're getting there. It's called clean coal technology. And I believe that if clean coal technology wasn't possible, my question is, why is Congress and the U.S. Department of Energy pouring in billions of dollars into this?
Yeah, which basically puts, so I guess the nation is really not going to go in there, whether it's a, on the nation level, whether the president's office or Congress, you know, the effort is to go in there and, yes, we're going to go and try to clean up the air wherever possible through whatever means. I guess that's what you're saying.
But not only here on the nation, Cal, it's got to happen all over the United States. And that's that's what we are addressing at this moment. We're doing our part here on the nation. Okay? We're doing our part here. But we're also looking into partnerships and working in concert with the U.S. Department of Energy and others to say we need to keep power in the United States. We need to keep that electrical grid going, but at the same time, we need to think about our future. We need to think about the environment. We need to think about safety, and we are there. We are there, Cal.
Wow. Well, that's a whole new light has just come on for me to realize that there is a difference in this purchase, that we're not buying the power plant, who's doing the admittance, whether whatever amount that is, but we're buying a mine. And I think for all those listeners out there, I think that's a powerful insight. And you're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation. The telephone number here is 347-989-0048. And we are talking about the BHP mine purchase. And so this is very, very important information that you're sharing with us, Des. Wouldn't I really appreciate that? And we have another caller. Would you mind taking another question? Hello, caller.
Certainly.
You're on air.
Is
caller.
That me? Hello?
Yes, you're on air right now. We can hear you.
Hi. This
can
is,
you turn your...
Okay.
Can you turn your sound or your computer off, because there's going to be a delay. It's going to get you very, very confused.
Okay. All right, this is Dina Patty.
Well, hello, Dina. Welcome for calling in.
How are you?
Good. You're live on the air, and do you have a question, or you're just calling in to say hello?
I was looking through your action items for this evening about the BHP.
Yes.
And a few other
items.
You're
live
we were...
with Tom.
Huh?
You're live on air with Mr. Deswood Tom. Do you have a question for him, or do you have something to share with him?
What would Deswood Tom, if I'm saying your name right, what would the probability of not taking this mine and giving it back to had run it in the first time and had them just get rid of it? Because to me it feels like the possibility of them trying to sell it back to the Navajo Nation tells me there's a problem with it. They don't want to deal with it. Maybe there's been spillage or some harmful effects, so they trying to turn over to the Navajo tribe as quickly as possible?
Deswood, I think we pretty much answered that question, but go ahead.
I'm sorry, who am I talking with?
My name is Dina.
Dina. Good evening, Dina. The Navajo Nation doesn't make a move unless it does what is called due diligence. The Navajo Nation has spent a lot of money in doing due diligence in the acquisition of this mine. If it wasn't something that was suitable for the Navajo Nation to enact on, the Navajo Nation would have already shut it down and said, look, we're not interested in going there. And the outcome of the due diligence has been that this is favorable for the Navajo Nation to do. And we've had we've had several law firms involved here. And
can I
these
ask
law
a
firms
question?
Have come back and said this is a favorable action. Yes, please.
Okay. How much did this individual pay the Navajo tribe to get them involved with this?
I'm sorry, did you say an individual?
Who are the people who are paying my tribe to take over this BHP, which if it's not going well, they're going to want to get rid of it. So what is the cost that they are trying to get rid of it to dump it back on us?
I've never heard your question phrased, or the question that you're posing to me this evening, I've not heard it phrased that way before. You say to dump it back on us. First of all, we've never had a coal mine to be dumped back on us. This is unprecedented. This is the first time the nation is acquiring the purchase of a coal mine. So to say to be dumped back on us, I don't quite follow what you're saying there. And then when you say individual, I don't understand what you're talking about, individual, because Billington Minerals is selling this mine back over or giving it to the nation so that the nation can continue in the coal sale agreement, which will go for another 30 years or so.
So with the best interest of the people, or was this the best interest of people who are handling the money?
This is the best interest of the people of the Navajo Nation. This is going to ensure longevity. It's going to ensure future sales. It's going to ensure future gross revenue receipts and also taxes, in addition to jobs, in addition to ancillary businesses that will operate around this. This is what you call economic prosperity.
Yeah, well,
economic
there you have
prosperity.
It. Dina, just hold on one. Here's the thing that we had just talked about was that there is a difference in this particular deal that we've been talking about. And I've got to admit, even myself, not until about 20 minutes ago did I really find out that there is a difference in this entire business dynamics of how this is set up. First, we have a power plant, which is actually with the smokestack, and it emits all the, you know, you see the smoke. There's that business. And then there's also another part of that, and obviously they work together with one another. And so we have a mine which actually produces, I guess they have it, from what I'm understanding, is that, you know.
You know,
like
we have
mine.
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
Do these
so
gentlemen
those are two,
that are presenting
those are,
this, are these two gentlemen,
yeah.
Are they Navajo? Do they live on the reservation?
Well, let me just say that this
probably not.
Is like,
But, you know, because when you look at the BHP reservation mine situation, you know, I'm a little girl. I'm now a grown woman with a couple of degrees. And, you know, it just doesn't sound like BHP just wants to get rid of it because it's something I just need to get rid of. There's something wrong with BHP. I suggest keeping your eyes, your ears, look at their financial statements to ensure they're not selling you a lemon. They're selling it with great strength, saying how amazing it's going to be, where you're going to be. Well, you know, yeah, you had those businesses on our reservations. But guess what? Down the street, little old Miss Benali over there, she's still pumping water and taking a shit behind a tree in her outhouse. So, you know, I just think that there's the economic development of the Navajo Nation should stick exactly to what they need to be doing. All those offices have a job to do. Everybody just stick to their policies and procedures, and it'll work out just fine.
Deadwood.
Dina, thank you for your statement and what you're saying tonight. I think in the future, Cal, if we could have some people from BHP Billington Minerals on the show, they could fill in the lack of,
yeah,
a lack of information and lack of understanding so that people like Gina don't make assumptions, so that they get the correct information, they understand what's going on here, they understand that we are making progress and development here. And I don't think the Navajo Nation's leadership would be going this way if that wasn't the case. The Navajo Nation has spent an inordinate amount of money into looking into due diligence on the acquisition of this mine and how lucrative in the future it's going to be as each year goes by, as we get into 2020, 2021, 2022, all the way up till 2045. That's what we're looking at. We're looking at longevity. We're not looking at just today. We're looking at into the future. That's what you call leadership.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I think that, you know, from what I'm kind of reading between the lines, what Dina is, and like many other listeners, I guess one of the things that they're basically saying is that, which I think really addresses that we need to address this particular question, and that is that whether it's a coal mine or any other business, if there are certain dynamics of this particular business, like in this case, it's a coal mine. I've heard some statistics saying that there's only 50 years left of coal inside of there, but you just shared with us that there's 200 years. And so whatever the years are, you know, that's not the question, but I think is that, you know, this particular business, and I want to get some insight to make sure that the Navajo people out there, you know, understand this. I think they want some assurances. The assurance that, you know what, we are buying a product or a service that is going to give us some benefit, that the monies are going to be paid back, that, you know, whatever it is, you know, that's going to go into this investment, that the Navajo Nation actually reaps the benefit of this. And so now, and of course, there's a whole other discussion to that, Deswood, and that is that, you know, once the money starts coming in, how is this going to address the local level? You know, I mean, that's a whole other discussion. But, you know, I mean, I think that's the thing, is that we're buying a mine. So what you're saying is that we're buying a mine, not the power plant, but this mine has about 200 years of reserve left. Right, Deswood?
Cal, when I talk about the 200 years of reserves, I'm talking about the entire coal bed on the Navajo Nation. That extends into Arizona, New Mexico, and so forth. In fact, they're still doing discoveries at this point. Just like there are unexplored areas in natural gas, unexplored areas in oil, unexplored areas in uranium, there are a lot of areas that are, haven't even been tapped yet for exploration to determine what is out there. But what we do know that's there is 200 years of coal. Now, this BHP Billington mine area may have 50 years left. We can get the experts on the air, on your show, to give you the precise number.
Yeah, which I think will be very, very helpful, because I think we need to, you know, we need to clear this up with the general public. Hey, Dina, I've got you back live. Is that, does that kind of answer your question? And is there any last, any other question
what
or
about
opinion
a
that
tour?
You share with us?
What about a tour of the place? And why is BHP deciding they don't want to, out of the goodness of their heart, they decided they didn't want anything to do with it? Why are they leaving?
Deadwood.
Cal and Dina, BHP Billington Minerals is a worldwide company, and they are making changes to their operation worldwide, and Navajo is just one of the many changes that they are making.
So they're not necessarily getting out of the business. All they're doing is selling a mine. Is that what you're saying?
Well, they're restructuring, Cal. They're going and they're just like any global company is doing. They're saying, okay, how can we change our methodology? And they're making changes, and the Navajo mine is just one of several that they're making a change to. And instead, let me tell you the adverse impact. If the Navajo Nation at this time does not step in and acquire the purchase of this mine, you're going to see Four Corners are going to shut down. You're going to see the loss of 700-plus jobs. You're going to see the loss of $70 million of revenue to the Four Corners area. I understood the estimate to be $76 million, and that's per year. So if this transaction doesn't happen, we're looking at an economic devastation to this area, and we've got to make a decision, and a wise decision here. That's why the Navajo Nation has gone out to make sure that they have got the top law firm in the country to come in to do due diligence on this purchase, to make sure that it is the right decision for the Navajo Nation. And that's where we're going. That is part of our energy platform. That is a part of what President Shelley is going in energy. He is taking, and President Shelley is going to have an energy summit in February. And we're not just talking about coal. We're talking about oil and natural gas in other areas of energy, Navajo Nation, even including renewable energy. And this administration has broke through in renewable energy. And we have a solar manufacturing plant in Fort Defiance. We have a solar farm that is under construction at Ayumbato, east of Gallup, and we're going to have another one that all is being studied at this point, Paragon Resource Ranch near Lake Valley in eastern Navajo. So Navajo is moving smartly into energy, including renewable energy.
Yeah. Well, Des, what I really appreciate it for the listeners out there, you are listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation, and I really do appreciate callers calling in, and I thank you for the questions, and thank you for the answers, Deswood. And we're going to take a break, and if you wouldn't mind, just hold off for a few minutes, and we will see you on the other side.
Talk to the host. Call 347-989-0048 or listen in at www.blogtalkradio.com/Calmet. To talk to the host, call 347-989-0048 or listen in at www.blogtalkradio.com/Calmet.
Everybody, thank you for listening in. This is Cal Nez, the host for the Politics on the Navajo Nation. And this evening we have talked about several things on topic. And I really do appreciate Des Wood. I know you're probably going to have to, I don't know if you got to go to work tomorrow, but I would assume so. But I appreciate you staying up this late with us. And I want to wish everybody out there Happy New Year. I hope everything went well, including, the Navajo Nation or the Navajo Nation government. And there's another aspect of this thing that I want to get into, Judge Wood, if you wouldn't mind. That was the assemblage of a new enterprise that has come into light, and that is the InTech.
Mm-hmm.
If you would kind of share with us what you know about InTech.
Thank you, Kel. InTech is an acronym which stands for Navajo Transitional Energy Company. In fact, the person who's at the top of the ladder there is an individual by the name of Steve Gunderson. In fact, it would be wise to have him on your show. I can arrange that. And at the same time, we can have the spokespeople for BHP Billington to even carry this further and go further and delve further into understanding here. Because I looked over there at the Navajo Nation Council the other day, while I was working in my office, and I didn't get a chance to go over there, I looked over there and saw the number of people that were there, and they had concerns. And they were carrying signs and asking questions and so forth. And I thought, if they understood what the Navajo leadership at this part understands, and what I understand, and if they had information and knowledge and understanding, perhaps they'd let down those signs and begin to understand that we're doing this for the longevity of the nation. And you can't talk to a group like that when they're all gathered together because they don't listen. You know, something magical happens when you get a group of people out there, and they already have heightened emotion. You can't talk logic and rationality to them. You've got to get them to where you've got to get them in a setting to where they're apt to listen and apt to receive. And that's the whole idea here, is that people need to have knowledge and understanding coupled with information. I think if they have that, Cal, they go a long way and they get on board and they say this is the right direction to go. But I do appreciate their concern. I appreciate their statements. I appreciate what they have to say. I'm not saying it's not valid. It is valid. And we need people like that to ask the pertinent questions to make sure that we are doing the right thing.
Well, yeah, well that's the reason why that we have the show, is that I really, really feel like that, you know, as the Navajo Nation, and as whether they're the Navajo people, whether they are on the Navajo Nation or off the Navajo Nation, you know, here is a nation, and we still belong, and that's why I have this show, and this is the third time that I'm addressing this thing. And I've invited council delegates. I've invited various different groups to come on air and to address this particular issue. And, excuse me, I also got this nagging cold myself. So, now, and that's why what this show is about is dialogue takes place. And just know that these shows are archived on Politics on the Navajo Nation website, and you can go down there, and or you know, you can go on the site and download it. But so now,
Cal, give us that URL. What is that URL to your show?
It's www.blogtalkradio.com/CalNez, and you can actually go to the archives section of the show, of the episode, and you can actually download it from there. And so basically, as we're talking about impact, here's one of the things that I, for me, what caught my eyes is so that all the listeners out there, and as well as yourself, understand is that. You know, as a businessman, I mean, I have been an advocate of the Navajo Nation or the Navajo people, that business ought to be developed at the privatized level. And that's how that I got myself involved, looking at the Escalate project over in Western Navajo, and then we've got this particular one. And they seem to be getting the spotlight. But in either case, it's a Navajo Nation government doing business. And so my only angle, which I got to say, I read the press release that was, in fact, oh, by the way, still posted on the Office of the President's website. And on there I read, and it said that the long-range goal was that, okay, we're going to buy a mine, and we our intention is to merge with a Navajo company, and they will get all of the assets of the mine, the equipment, and so forth. I can't remember all the terminology that was on the press release, but it was there. Well, let me just say that as a businessman, you know, I think that's a wonderful idea, and I was looking forward to that, and I thought, wow, what Navajo company is going to come together in this? So philosophically speaking, for me personally as a businessman, I believe that the government, or it's not just the Navajo Nation, it's for the Utah state government or any state government, including the federal government, they ought to stay in their sector, so to speak, doing the governmental work, and allow, and then they facilitate opportunities to the people so that the people can prosper, get the small businessmen, get the people involved. So having said that, you know, here we have a government, and we have this press release that's on the Office of the President, and now I'm hearing about InTech. And I'm not so sure that Cal Nez, I totally, fully agree with the concept of the enterprises being out there. You know, to me, I really feel like that they compete with the private sector. You know, I don't know when and how we're going to address that, but that's a whole other discussion. But now, you know, we have now we have InTech, who is now coming to the forefront. How are they going to operate? What are they going to do? And are they, is this like the replacement of the, quote, Navajo company that was being talked about on the press release, Deadwood?
Cal, thank you again. InTech is run by a group of a board of directors. And one of the board of directors is Steve Gray, one Steve Gunderson, one is Dr. Grant Wood, who is an expert in combustion. And there's another professor out of the University of Denver. Navajo didn't just come together and put this together on a spit and shine, if you will. They took great care and careful steps in making sure that we have the right people to come in and be a part of it. And I'm telling you, Cal, with the minutes remaining on your show, we need to have the Navajo Transitional Energy Company representatives, their board members and others in that, to come on board to offer more light and understanding and information so that the public out there is aware.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds fair. And
furthermore, Cal, I'd like to add that there are more than 300,000 Navajos out there. What we know is half of them live in places like Salt Lake City, Denver, Minneapolis, Chicago, New York, Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, Dallas, Albuquerque. They live in the metropolitan areas out there, and they're making good lives. And they're out there because they chose, they made a decision to be there. And they're still Navajo, they're registered, they're enrolled members. And we know that they have family back here on the nation. And I want to celebrate them. I want to celebrate them because many of them are school teachers, they're carpenters, they're attorneys, they're doctors, they're physicians. They're taking up industry out there. And that's wonderful. And one day the Navajo Nation is going to go in the direction of acquiring franchises and other opportunities out there in the metropolitan areas. And I want to celebrate the Navajos that are living off of the nation. That's a wonderful achievement, and I applaud them. And I know that they have great relationship to their families and friends who live here on the nation.
Having that come from a representative from the president's office, that's very good to hear, because one of the things that, you know, that I think that, and I keep telling this to people out there, and again, I'm going to say it again tonight, that is that whether you live on the Navajo Nation or off the Navajo Nation, we have got to get ourselves engaged into these type of discussion. I think that those are very, very important, because it's going to affect not only just us, but for the future, and which includes our children. Somewhere along the line, we're all going to come back home. And, you know, so, yes, I do appreciate that. And, you know, hearing that, you know, I means a lot to people that are living in the metropolitan area. But that doesn't mean that we don't know what's going on down there as well. So, so for all the listeners who are out there, we have only about 10 minutes or less than that left on the show, And if you have any other questions, I've got people who are posting online and they're asking questions, but we have the representative. You guys have the telephone number. The telephone number is 347-989-0048. Here is your opportunity. Even though unplanned, I just send a text to Deswood Tome from the president's office, and, you know, to my surprise, and which I really appreciate, is that he has just called in, and he's just given himself an hour and a half of his time this evening to address the, you know, some of the questions. So for all you callers out there or listeners out there, you know, here's your chance for you to get some in-depth questions or information that you're wanting to hear. And so I appreciate it. Again, the telephone number is 347-989-0048. And, Deswood, that's very, very vital information. Is there anything that you would like to cover that we haven't covered in reference to the BHP mine purchase?
Cal, thank you again. I want to say that there's more to come. The last week's action and the Navajo Nation Council, the president signing it into law on the same day, is just one of more steps to come. There are a few more steps to happen. This is, again, we need to look at this in this way. For years, since the 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, and all the way into the 70s and 80s, we've had companies come on and do it for us. This is an opportunity for the Navajo to jump in and do it and say, we're going to form a company independent of the Navajo government, and this Navajo company is going to take charge, and we have experts in the field, we have partnership agreements, we have the U.S. Department of Energy that's stepping on board and saying, we're going to give you a hand. This is an era of opportunity and growth for the Navajo Nation. And if somebody back in the 1970s said, you know, the Navajo Nation is going to someday own its own coal mine, and the height of people talking about coal reduction, coal-fired generating plant reduction, and talking about the environment and so forth, to look at it in another way, you're looking at it that Navajo is stepping into a leadership position and saying, despite the environment, despite what President Barack Obama has declared on coal-fired generating plants and so forth, that the Navajo Nation is stepping in and saying, we have found a way to make it happen, and we have found a way to make it work. That is progress, Cal, and I want to emphasize that. And I want to share that with your listeners, that in the future, let's get the right people on the show that are going to provide you answers to the many questions that you have. And I want to thank you for having me on your show tonight. And I want to say Happy New Year to all of our Navajo people, those that live on the nation and those that live out there. And I applaud all your hard work. And let's make it happen in 2014.
Excuse me. Deswood, thank you very, very much. I appreciate you being with us. And before I let you go, I would like to let the listeners know out there that I think it would be vital to have people that you've mentioned in tech, their representatives, to call in within, you know, probably the next two shows. And also, I would like to also extend an invitation to people from the BHP mine or the power plant, so that we have a responsibility. I feel that we have a responsibility to educate the general public about this thing. You know, I'm still learning to, in reference to how does this mine purchase is all going to finalize and take place and so forth, and, you know, and it's all there. I'm just as curious as the public. So having said that, would you be willing to do that, Deswood, to bring some of the people on so that we can share more information?
I will start contacting them first thing in the morning.
Well, thank you very much. And again, we, the Politics on the Navajo Nation, we would like to thank Mr. Deswood Tome for being with us, and Happy New Year to you and your family and everybody on the Navajo Nation. Thank you, Deswood.
Absolutely, and I want to say Happy New Year on behalf of President Ben Shelley, First Lady Martha Shelley, and Vice President Rex Lee Jim, and prosperous New Year for all of you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, all the listeners of Politics on the Navajo Nation, I want to thank Mr. Deswood Tome. And let me just preface this again to everybody. I want to, you know, again, I just put out a show and said, hey, you know what? We've got to discuss this. We need to get ourselves engaged and get more information and more information and more information. It's out there. And I don't think, you know, that the press is giving us the full story. We have a radio station. We have the Navajo Times. We have KTNN. We have KNDN. We have KGAK. You know, yes, it's wonderful that we're listening to country music 24/7, but where are these pressing information that here are three entities or two entities that I've just mentioned that have the full responsibility to go out and to share with the Navajo people? And you know what? I'm not seeing all of this. This is just kind of just we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg. And it's wonderful that we're listening to country music on KTNN all the time, but you know what? We've got to have more shows. And not that I'm trying to advocate to get everybody over to KTNN, but, you know, all I'm saying is that you guys are now here on the on this internet radio, Politics on the Navajo Nation. And so I set the show up, and I invited everybody. I posted it online. I know there's a lot of people out there. And I only had two callers call in. And I do appreciate Sylvia Laughter and Dina Patty for calling in and asking the Mr. Tome these questions that they had out there. And I hope that we've provided some insight. I didn't plan on having Mr. Tome, but he called up and said, I'm here. And so for me, as a Navajo citizen, I got to tell you, I have just learned some new things this evening. And just to give the InTech people, as well as the mine people, as well as the power plant people, I want to be able to give them their time as well. And as well as I, you know, you're here, and I have said this over and over again to everybody. You know what? If you have questions and concern about your government, how your money is being spent, who is engaging themselves in the development of these businesses, and all of these things, we're here. And we need to continue to address, and you've got to be able to bring yourself to this show and say, hey, ladies and gentlemen, I have this concern. I've waited for that. And I got to tell you one thing. It's one thing to go out there and share this and on Facebook, or you know, various different blogs all over the internet, than it is to have a live one-on-one dialogue like we had this evening. And you know what? I'm kind of disappointed that we didn't have more and more callers calling in. And but I don't know if you guys are radio shy out there, but you know what? I can't be. I don't have all of the questions or all of the answers that you want to ask. And the opportunity was there. And so just so that we finish up this show, we have about, well, a few minutes left here on the show, but I just want to be able to say to everybody that the BHP, okay, Navajo Mine Purchase, I still have questions about Intec. Who are they? What is going to be their role and how they were brought into and who are the expertise? And, you know, whether it's Intec or any other business or any other enterprise being developed by the Navajo Nation, I have concerns about that. I fully believe that there are very capable Navajos out there who can totally engage themselves and be able to operate a business. And if we need to put together a business, where is the money going to come from and who are the expertise in all of this? But it sounds to me from what the president's office representative, Mr. Deswood Tome, shared with us that he said, well, these are the expertise, and he named the individuals who are involved in Intec. So I will give them their time and bring them on air. And Mr. Tome just told us this evening that he will get on the phone as early as tomorrow morning. So, and but the other aspect that I've learned, which was very a monstrous eye-opener for me, was that we're not buying a power plant. We're buying a mine. And the mine, you know, I don't know all the statistics on it, but I will probably get that once we get the Intec people on air, and we will probably get the statistics and the data and the hard information when we bring Intec, or not Intec, but the mine, BHP mine, and as well as the power plant people, as promised from Mr. Tome. So a lot of this information, whether we have 50 years or 200 years, I'm sure those questions are going to be answered. But and then the dynamics, I just also learned this evening that while they're waiving the sovereignty, you know, I guess it's the philosophical question that we have as Navajo people, and that is that, you know, how much of this waiver is going to set a precedence for the future. And so I guess whether we agree with it or not, but somewhere if you're going to get into business, you've got to take risks. And so it sounds like the Navajo Nation has taken the risk to be able to say, okay, we need to lower the rainbow in the case of sovereignty of the Navajo Nation so that we can bring the insurance companies or whoever it is that's involved in this business deal, so that we can have this business happen. So that's another new thing that I learned. But you know, and again, here's my advice to the Navajo Nation and its leaders, is that every facet of any business, whether it's bought by the Navajo Nation or monies that are coming in, I would advise the Navajo Nation to begin to look at the Navajo Business Opportunity Act, to look at Navajo preference, and to see what we can do to get some of the very well-qualified, as well as we all know. And I know that there's listeners out there who are concerned about their chapters and so forth. And I've had, you know, people say to me that, you know what, I've got this qualification, this experience, and so forth and so forth. But when I go home, I put a resume at such and such place, and all of a sudden discover that, oops, I can't get a job. And we had a caller about three shows ago. Her name was Christine. And she said the same thing. I have this monstrous experience, but I can't get a job. And so having said that, I hope the Navajo Nation, while they're sitting here bringing these businesses and talking about the value of the Navajo people, whether on the Navajo Nation or off the Navajo Nation, that, hey, let's get these people employed, hired, or whatever it is. Let's use their mind, their wealth of experience, and whatever industry that they're employed in right now. Because a chapter meeting. Navajo Nation Chapter House, Edo Del Window Rock, Adonat Sofia Inmidden, Yeme, Ado, E, Dota, Chito, Ni, Do, Quay, Dita, Job, Edo, Do, Nahot, Edo Del, bring your resume back at another time. Then he said, no. So having said that, Joe Benin, Nachitrui, Fanan Hosh Khan, honest to Navajo governmental leaders, such as Isanosa, a call a joy to a bond to the case, a call the Ares on the Hodges 2014 Navajo Nation presidential campaign by not in stay. Arashi came to get up the Nilaja Hashinza, a call the Nessa Hutoi Aja, Quay Hutoi Nash Adoli, put on a da no hot o e joy kare aaj kuch na ho jis joy de ni na sho ho ti de pat joy ti de kro na ite chit le ni e ro ta kro to ashishin da ti ne sha no joy ta ni de ne ho ta ni ka ti no e ho to she da ni to a ko to ho do kreshi so to a the kushi le shi je je I don't know how many people thinking about running. But I think with all these questions, all these dynamics of this, you know, we have all of this that we need to be thinking about. We're going to be thinking about the future. We're looking to continue to talk about, to address the business conduct of the Navajo Nation, also in terms of business, whatever it is, the past, the current, and the future, whatever it is that we're going to get involved, how much of this is going to, our people are going to get engaged into. So, Joy Oban, subcase for this, so a Joy Vinina, so Dita, Nisha, oh, here, non Hidishnido, Nick. But also a 2014 Happy New Year to everybody. And Kayla, is anybody listening from South Dakota? If you're listening from South Dakota, give me a call. Or listening from New York City, Maine. It'd be interesting to hear a Navajo from Florida. Happy New Year if you guys are all listening over there. So I do appreciate it, and we're about ready to close the show here. So. And you're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation. Well, anyway, I'm not sure what's going on with my log on my studio board here, but there we go.
Thank you.
you go. That's, I want to let everybody know that you're, that was Andrew Benally, Native American Church. So we're about ready to close up. I provided a 2-hour or an hour and a half show, and I wanted everybody to call in and share their information with us or questions, concerns, whatever it is. And, you know, I believe in dialogue, no matter how much we opposed or how much we agree, whatever the situation is, there's nothing better than coming together and sitting down and talking. And I want to thank everybody who's called in and all your listeners out there. I would like to thank you to be with us and listening this evening, and want to thank everybody out there. And then again, also want to say Happy New Year. I hope that we have absolutely a wonderful time to this year with families, and that you get into business and you start a business, or that the Navajo Nation government can beginning to give us loans and more contracts. So that's my year wish, and a resolution is to go to have this dialogue. And I want to thank Mr. Deswood Tone for the president's office, who I want to say that, you know, on his own time, he called up and he was right here. He gave us a lot of information, and that was unplanned, and I didn't expect that. But I want to thank Mr. Deswood Tone for the office of the president to give us nearly almost an hour and a half of his time with us. And so that was your chance to ring and just, you know, ask questions. Also, he has said to us that he is going to bring on the show people from Intec, BHP, and I'm sure that I'll have lots of questions, just like you, about how that this whole package is going to come together. And my biggest angle is going to be the Navajo Business Opportunity Act and also the employment of Navajo people. I think that we have people out there that are very, I will always advocate on behalf of the Navajo people, because I do believe in you. I think that you're very, very capable to be able to operate business and bring back some wonderful and very powerful insights. And I also want to thank Sylvia Laughter for calling in. I want to thank Dina Patty. And so there was an opportunity for everybody to engage. I also, for next week's show, I want to talk about the Navajo grazing permit. I'm very curious to see what that's all about as well. You know, because there is going, it is a huge issue, grazing permit. Anything that has to do with the land base area, which is pretty much a land ownership, so to speak, is comparable to that. Now, I understand the from the grassroots level how that's set up. And, you know, I was hoping to hear from some of the grazing permit holders this evening and what their feelings are. I don't know all the dynamics of this thing, but I know one thing is that, boy, I tell you, that's going to be a fight. You know, it's like taking land away or getting a permit that might not mean anything anymore, or is it going to have more strength, or what it is? Is it the Navajo Nation? Are we ready to own land? And if so, how is this going to work out? I'm very curious, but I do have a solution for that whole this whole setup that would not change dynamics of land ownership. So, anyway, having said that, I'm sure that a lot of you are going to have to go to work in the morning, and I want to thank you. And again, want to wish you a Happy New Year 2014, you and your family, and I hope you guys had a wonderful holiday. I did. had a wonderful time. And we also had the Navajo winter storytelling. And I'm also probably going to have people out there. And we just got done with the soul, talking to my boys here, my 12-year-old and 10-year-old. And they were very curious. And one of the things that I was telling them about Michael's Blusher and some of the creation stories, the stories about the twins, and they were very happy. And I asked them, why do you guys are so quiet on this thing? They said it was fun. And so I would urge you to go out there and to remember Adashin, Kohandashin, throughout the Navajo Nation. They're probably having shoot games as well. And I watched that one time. I was very honored to see how that whole thing was done. It just made me very, very proud to be Navajo, to see the shoot game taking place. How that the people, the night people, and the night animal people, and as well as the day animals, and just how that whole thing took place. Just a wonderful thing that I witnessed. And there was a gentleman here who lives in Salt Lake. His name is Emerson Bill Shanahia. He went with us to the Navajo Nation, down to the Salt Palace that we, in front of a very large audience. We talked about we shared my Joe Blushin. And I think his story and it brought back a lot of memories. Boy, I tell you, I was smiling and laughing. And it took me way back to the night when it was very, very clear, just a very crisp, cold air that was all around us. And coming home to the corral, we were on Christmas break, boarding school, and just listening to all of that. I urge the Navajo people, whether you live off the Navajo Nation, I always say this, or on the Navajo Nation, and one of the things that I like to sit down and do with my kids as well is to have the string game. And those are so many different. How many of us are practicing that still to this day? And on the weekend, families get together and talk about, the creation story. Also the Navajo, the Navajo coyote story. Fun, memorable things that this is our culture, our tradition. And for me personally, the way I believe is I don't think it's one or the other. You know what? What really makes these things of value is that where do you, as an Navajo person, where do you stand on this? Well, it comes down to you. I think being open-minded and sharing whatever Christian belief or whatever beliefs that you guys have out there, along with the Navajo Nation, the Navajo culture, I think it's one and the same. That's what works for me. And I'm happy with that. I don't go in there and say, okay, that's not valid. This is valid. Christianity is the only way to go, or Navajo way is the only way to go. I think it works for me. And so, nonetheless, I'm just only talking about the Navajo creation stories, and as well as the Maijo Blushe, to continue with that. Those are beautiful. So, again, I am very thankful that you tuned in this evening, and I wish you, again, a happy new year, you and your family, and hope that you have some wonderful, absolutely an incredible year, 2014. And let's rock and roll. Let's have fun. And go from here. Yeah, Navajo people, you are absolutely beautiful people. I am so honored to be one of you. I'm so honored that I was raised and I'm proud to have planned. You know, so thank you again. And next week, same time, but I'm not going to have a two-hour show next time. So thank you. Next week, same time, 9 o'clock. You're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation. Thank you.
Politics on the Navajo Nation, hosted by CalMez.